I am here with Ensemble Peregrina, four early music experts and singers who form the ensemble. We're going to hear them live from our performance studio today. They've traveled all the way here from Switzerland, and they're going to be in a program of three concerts with the Renaissance band Pifaro. The concerts are going to be this weekend, one's on Friday and one's on Saturday and one's on Sunday, and there'll be more information about that. But for now, I just wanted to let you know Ensemble Peregrina does early music and concentrates on Polish music, but all kinds of early music from the 12th century to the 14th century. You have 9 albums out. You've been together for 20 years. And this is you've only been in the U.S. This is your third time in the United States. So let's start by having you introduce yourselves. Please tell our listeners where you're from as well.
Hello, my name is Kelly Landerkin, and I'm an expat. I've been in Switzerland for the past 23 years, but I'm actually a bit of a local girl, born in New Jersey, and I actually went to a middle school and high school here in Philadelphia. I'm a Central High School graduate.
Very nice. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Lorenza Donadini Camarca. I am Swiss. And I live in the south part of Switzerland called Canton Ticino, where we speak Italian. And I'm a musicologist and a singer, and I have my own ensemble named Perlaro, and specialized in Italian 14th century music.
And my name is Hanna Järveläinen, and I'm from Finland originally, been in Switzerland for 11 years now. I don't have anything more special to say, so I give to Agnieszka.
Hello, my name is Agnieszka Budzińska-Bennett. I was born in Poland, but emigrated to Switzerland, where I've been living already for 20 years. I'm an ex-pianist and musicologist, and also a singer. And this I studied in Basel, where we all met.
So let's get into the first block of music that you're going to sing. Tell us what you're going to sing today, starting.
The first block are two short pieces from Clare's convents in the southern of Poland, 13th and 14th century. The first piece, Clara dei Famula, with a bit upbeat rhythm, a little bit like a dance, like a liturgical dance maybe. And then a four-part piece, Omnia Beneficia, which is a very particular piece for our Polish culture, and maybe more to it later.
Thanks very much.
Clara dei famula, tenera infantula, vivens in emacula, plena santitatis. Clara dei famula, mater paupertatis, tu Francisci plantula, sanctitate primula, prolere plen secula, flore pietatis. Clara dei famula, mater paupertatis, novum est prodigium, claritatis speculum, sequens Dei filium, fontem caritatis. Clara Dei famula, mater paupertatis, ergo nostra consio, psallat cum tripudio, benedicat Domino, Deo dicans gratis. Clara Dei famula, mater paupertatis. Omnia beneficia, gaudia generantia, varia quedat gratia, dulcia Sapui sicut fatui, nam cui prius ad fui, volui esse nutui, renui pro ut potui, sinum credero, non est pro me.
Thank you so much. That's just beautiful. You know, you were mentioning that this music is from a convent in southern Poland. And Agnieszka, if you could just tell me a little bit about how that may have come to be. A lot of times people associate this music with male voices, but that's not always the case. Tell us about the music from the convent.
This is very interesting because we used to think about cloisters as exactly the manly domain. And actually there were so many female cloisters and so much music and poetry production in these cloisters. Only in recent years we learn more and more how much activities were actually accessible to the nuns and how many things they created. Crafts and exactly music and poetry. And for us, it's quite an important thing that we know for sure how much the nuns sang in the services.
Is it actually in a convent would have been a place to go where a certain kind of, where you would have been able to get an education? Isn't that correct?
Not really. I mean, we have to remember that becoming a nun is not bad luck as we imagine that today. It was certainly a way of getting a kind of a career, strange as it sounds now. It's not only that girls or women were forced into the cloisters. Of course, there were cases like this. But for many, and we have to remember that to become a nun was not a very usual way for a peasant girl, mm-hmm. but the nuns were actually noble women. It was a career, it was a
right.
Social, getting up on a social ladder, and also becoming quite powerful, as many abbesses, I mean, quite powerful women. Some of them, we know the names, of course, the most popular and known name is Hildegard of Bingen, who was a woman of great wisdom and also in a kind of great independency from the Pope. So there were really incredible fates and incredible possibilities for women in medieval times.
Will there be more music from the convent later in this program this afternoon?
Yes, we present
good.
Some other pieces.
Okay. And, you know, I was interested in knowing how you, this is a bit of an esoteric area, but you've kind of devoted the last 20 years to really preserving and performing this music. What motivated you? What piqued your interest in doing this?
I would slightly disagree with this being esoteric. Exactly that what interests me. It's a human creation of art, exactly poetry and music, that has been very, very developed. I was always interested in literature, in old languages, in Middle Latin, or the languages we don't speak anymore, obviously. And I just noticed there is so much power and so much wonderful thoughts in the medieval literature, and this is connected intrinsically with music. So I went on discovering it for myself, for my understanding of what we human beings were at that time and how much we differ now and how much we remain the same. And especially dealing mm-hmm. with female cloisters and the borders or impossibilities and possibilities is actually just like now, like today.
The music that you are singing, you were telling me how it was written for voices that are sort of in an equal range. Can you explain what you mean by that?
In certain centuries. It's just the way the music was written. I mean, it was meant for the group of people of the same sex. So we have all male ensembles today being mm-hmm. able to perform that music, or the female ones, as in our case. It was just the way the pieces were written. There is no particular idea behind it. It was just how it emerged from early polyphony that you can create only with voices that are very close by, I mean the range. And then it just went up to three and four voices, and until the end of 13th century, that's the case. Only afterwards we can kind of mix voices, female and male voices.
Well, let's get into the second block of music. Tell us what we're about to hear.
Well, we are about to hear two pieces for the Virgin Mary. The first piece is a two-part conductus from the famous School of Notre Dame. And we continue with a Polish piece, actually in ancient Polish, also for the Virgin Mary. It's called Bogurodica, so Mother of God. And just to bring those two as a contrast, but bound thematically.
Wonderful, thanks.
Ave nobilis, venerabilis Maria, amicabilis, comes utilis in via, mentes erige, corsum dirige, perec in via, more
Thank you very much. You're hearing Ensemble Peregrina. We're here in the WRTI Performance Studio. I'm Meredy Duddleston. And Ensemble Peregrina is here for a concert and three performances with Pifaro, which are this weekend. The first is going to be in West Philadelphia at the Philadelphia Episcopal Cathedral, and the second will be in Chestnut Hill at Chestnut Hill Presbyterian. And then the third performance is going to be Sunday afternoon in Wilmington at, I believe it's Church Emmanuel. Is that correct? Church Emmanuel Highlands. So three performances. There's more information about this at Pifaro's website, pifaro.org. But we are so happy to have you here today. And you just sang the oldest known Polish song in existence, which is kind of an amazing thing. What century do you think that was from?
Oh, that's a very good question. We would really love to know, but we don't. The transmission of this piece is quite misty. We really don't know the century. It's transmitted in kind of later sources, like 15th century, but it's certainly much, much earlier than that. We have a lucky case here that it's a first extant piece, musical piece in Polish language. And at the same time, bad luck, because there's nothing to compare it to. We have very few written sources of the Polish language, so even the linguists are constantly arguing about the century of this piece. But we're very happy to have the music to it and being able to perform it as a musical piece.
And this is not a piece that's unknown in Poland today. Is that correct? Tell us about that.
It's absolutely correct. That's the text of the piece, maybe not the song, but the text. It's what we learn at school, of course, because it's exactly very important for the history of Polish language. And but the music is also quite known. It used to be sang by the knighthood before every battle, calling Virgin Mary for protection and a success in the battle. And one of the most famous moments of Polish history, actually one of the rare glorious ones, was the battle by Tannenberg, Grunwald, in 1410, where the Polish chivalry was singing this song and then actually did win. So we associate quite a success with this song and performing it.
It's lovely. You know, we were talking about authenticity earlier, and you were kind of laughing because I had said, well, how do you make this music authentic? And you said, well, you know, that doesn't really apply here, because obviously there aren't any recordings. There's no way to know what it really sounded like. So what I wanted to ask you, you know, how do you adhere to the text and create the sound that you want? What hints do you look for in the music?
We all musicologists or music theorists or researchers, so we know how to deal with evaluating data or information. It's much more difficult in humanities, in anything connected to the language and music, and yet still we have some means of dealing with that. I mean, we have manuscripts that we consult. That's a necessity and that's our job. And we also consult exactly language experts and discuss stuff. So we get some information that it's at least likely, and we get a music notation. We have some information in the notation, in the way how the scribe wrote the piece. There is some more or less hidden background to it. So we have to research all that and try to rely on this information and then rely on everything we've learned through out the years of working on similar material or repertoires, and then apply, hoping that it's at least legitimate in a sense that we've done all the work that could have been done.
There's a ton that goes into this, isn't there?
Excuse me?
There's a lot that goes into this.
There's a lot, yes. It's a big deal of preparation before we even come to sing, to start singing a piece. But that's what's so fascinating about it, and I wouldn't ever change this way of working for anything else, because we always learn so much about past times, about, exactly, again, human beings as they were then, and again, similarities or differences, and it's very fascinating journey each time, each piece, each program.
Each piece is a journey.
It is, because we can spend also so much time on trying to decipher and understand one single piece that maybe then lasts 30 seconds in the performance. It sounds absurd, but that's the way to go about it. There's no excuse for any less work.
Well, we are benefiting by all of this. Thank you so much. Tell us what the last block of music is going to be.
In the last block, we'll hear three pieces. The first one comes again from Polish Clare's Convents. It's a 13th century two-part motet, which means that one voice is singing just one word throughout the whole piece, and the upper voice is kind of glossing it, so it's singing text to it that it's related in Latin. We don't have time, unfortunately, to explain more about it, but it's a beautiful piece that actually is found then as well in Central European sources of 13th century in Paris again. And that's the link that shows that also Polish cloisters and actually convents in 13th century were really up to date with the most modern repertory. So this is first Manere motet, followed by Serena Virginum, a four-part piece from 13th century Paris. And we finish with exactly 13 seconds short, Benedicamus Domino, so a closing formula of a service, again from Polish Clare's Cloisters.
Thank you.
Horrible.
A fitting way to end the program. Thank you so much. It's been a delight to have you here. Ensemble Peregrina, you're here in the United States for 3 concerts with PFRO. There's more information about that at pfro.org or follow the link on WRTI's website. It's going to be a program of secular as well as sacred music. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And it's going to be start this Friday night, and then there'll be another performance on Saturday, ending with a performance on Sunday afternoon in Wilmington. So I want to thank you so much. Your sound is absolutely beautiful. Agnieszka, Hanna, Lorenza, Kelly, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much for having us.